Well, good morning, everyone. So this past week, one of my favorite stories, Megan, of course, went back to preschool or play school. And on Friday, they did a show and tell, which meant basically they were to bring a Christmas present and show the class everything that they got. And Megan was so excited. I imagine you can guess what he brought. Some of you might be able to. A monster truck. Yes, that's right. In particular, he brought one called Monster Mutt Dalmatian. Now, if you don't know anything about monster trucks, Monster Mutt, there are several different versions, not just one. They're all dressed up to look like a dog of some kind, but this was Monster Mutt Dalmatian, which meant it was white and had black spots on it. And he took that to class and showed it to everyone. And afterwards, we were asking him all these questions about what everyone else brought. And there were, you know, baby dolls and dollhouses and other monster trucks and construction vehicles and things he described that we didn't really understand what he was talking about. And at the end, we said, okay, make it now, who brought the coolest item of all? And I had a pretty good idea what he was going to say, but he said it much more confidently than I thought. He said, everyone in class thought my truck was the coolest toy. That's pretty much what he said. So he did not lack in confidence, and apparently it was a unanimous decision. So this week, sort of starting out, we had a New Year sermon last week, but this is really our first series of the New Year. And I wanted to talk about something that everyone deals with in life at some point or another. In fact, many people in our church are dealing with this right now. But few people really know how to talk about it from a spiritual, Bible-based perspective. Modern churches, we have this tendency to try so hard to make church exciting and vibrant and loud music and fun things going on and really good sermons, and all of that is good, but sometimes when we do that, we try so hard to keep it fun that we never actually talk about the issues that are central to the hurting people in our lives. But to me, it's not a fun topic, but it's a necessary one. And I figure that now is as good a time as any to talk about it. And the topic that I'm speaking of is that of grief. Grief, mourning, in loss. This is something that I feel like we don't talk about enough, but need to talk about. It's something that pervades so many lives and affects it so profoundly, and the Bible has so much to say about it. And yet sometimes we don't talk about it the way that we should. I believe the church is being called to be a light in the darkness and to talk about those issues that are hard. As we venture into this topic, I thought it might be helpful for me to give a little bit of background on my life and the things that I might know, because I suspect that many of you may think, what would a 30-something young man, know about deep loss and experience and grief in life? And I understand that, because the truth is, I don't have all the life experience that some have. I have not endured the pain that some of you have gone through in your life. Sure, I've lost people, but I can't promise you that I know everything about what you are going through, because your grief is unique to you. And even if I had all the experience in the world, your grief would still be unique to you. Your process to go through. On the other hand, I feel like I want to say that I've always felt led by God to speak on these issues and to talk about these kinds of things. When I was in Bible college, I may have told this story before, but all my peers were doing their internships and their part-time work in youth ministry, right? And they were taking kids on trips to the beach and doing all these crazy things. And I am so thankful that that is not the route I took. I would be terrible at that. But the route that I took is I ended up working my internships and my part-time at a place called Christian City, which was a large nursing home and independent living facility near Atlanta. And I spent a lot of time there amongst the people. I held hands with confused Alzheimer's patients. I read scripture to lonely widows. I sat by bedsides that I knew would be empty by morning. And I'm so grateful for that experience because it taught me a lot. It taught me to care about the things that people go through. When I got into full-time ministry, it seemed like God wanted this experience, this need. It seems like it followed me everywhere I went. When I finally got hired for my first full-time church, you know, I proposed to Jen, we got married, and literally as soon as we got back from our honeymoon, it was like 4 funerals in 5 weeks or something like that. It was just unbelievable. And it taught me so much so fast and gave me the desire and the need to talk about these issues. And everywhere that I've gone, this calling, this need to talk about grief has followed me. It's an epidemic in our world. It's something that I'm passionate to talk about because people are passionately feeling it. At my old church, we went as far as to have a professor from one of the local colleges come and speak about the topic of grief to our congregation at the time from a Christian perspective. We found that so many people were hurting, needed resources, and that the church was being called to speak into that darkness and shine a little bit of light. To be honest, I've seen much more than anyone my age should have to see. And what follows are just a few of the things that I've learned from being in these environments and from reading scripture. And although I'm not infallible on this very difficult topic, I pray to God that what I can say over the next couple of weeks will be helpful and encouraging to people in our church, and that they might even allow you and help you to minister to others someday. Because everyone deals with this at some point. So on the topic of grief, I guess the first thing I want to ask is, what is it? Because I think it's important that we kind of wrap our heads around what is grief and what isn't grief. And the first thing I want to say is that grief is primarily about loss. And I want to highlight any loss. This is something that I've learned to sort of expand my understanding of grief a little bit and what experiences can fall under or have the same symptoms of grief. Obviously, we usually think of grief as losing someone close to us via death. And that's our most common understanding. But grief can be caused by nearly any loss in life. And the symptoms and the way you go through it will largely be similar. The symptoms are largely the same, whether you lose someone or lose some other aspect that was important in your life. Some things that might feel like grief are things like losing a job, or getting divorced, or taking care of a sick loved one, or giving up on a dream in life, or being unable to have children, or moving away from friends and home and family that you love. And I'm not saying that any of those things is worth comparing to the loss of a loved one. It's not about comparison at all. What I am saying is that the process and the feelings largely are similar. And that's important because so many people are experiencing grief, but they don't call it grief. And because they don't call it grief, they don't give themselves time to feel it or go through the process or get through those feelings. And so they continue to feel it. And that grief then expands because they think that they have to be over it by now. And so that grief carries on in their life much longer than it needs to, because they're convinced that that's not grief. But the symptoms and the processes are similar. So I think it's important that we talk about grief as being associated with loss, and that can come in many, many forms and in many ways in life. Anytime you lose some aspect of how you expected your life was going to go, you often feel a little bit of grief. The second thing that I've learned about grief is that it is a process. It really is a God-ordained process, meaning that although it can feel random from time to time, there are certain things you can expect and look for. And knowing this will help you realize that you are progressing, that God is advancing you through the process, even if it seems slow. But knowing that that process is God-ordained and predictable in the long run can help you to not judge yourself or be impatient with yourself, but to simply go through the process and know that what you are experiencing is normal. On top of this idea of God-ordained process, I want to add that the Bible talks about this all the time. It does not shy away from talking about major loss in life and the process that we go through in experiencing it. If you were to, say, go to the Gospels and you'd find that Jesus himself mourned. One of the most, famously the shortest verse in the Bible. Anyone know what it is? Jesus wept at Lazarus's funeral. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. Easiest one to memorize. Jesus wept. And that tells you something about the fact that Jesus wasn't Superman, that Jesus didn't come down with no feelings. He wasn't robotic. He wasn't ethereal. He was a human being who experienced pain and loss and suffering in life just like you and I. You can go to the Psalms and you can read psalm after psalm in which David or some author is crying out to God in their pain, in their suffering in life, about the things that they've lost and what they've gone through. And for years and centuries, those psalms have been resources for Christians and believers to express their feelings to God when they're going through things. You can read about prophets who, because they had the job of speaking God's word, ended up in terrible moments of loss, like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. You can go to Ecclesiastes and read about Solomon, who is in despair over the meaninglessness of life and all the things that he's gone through, and he's reflecting and wondering why we do all of this. You could go to a book called Lamentations and find that there's an entire book devoted to lamenting the loss of serious things in life. This is not something God barely touches upon. This is something that is at the core of what Christians are called to do. Because what we have to proclaim is a beautiful, I don't want to say antidote, but addition to what we understand in grief. And there's so much to talk about from a scriptural perspective. Also, along the lines of this process, many people are probably somewhat familiar with the five stages of grief, right? You've probably heard them at some point in life. They're denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And while these are sort of simplistic and well-known pop psychology, they do at least give us the idea that there is a process playing out. And it gives us an idea of some of the things we will feel. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. Excuse me, I'm sorry. But the biggest problem with the way that we might understand those stages is that they aren't really linear. They aren't really distinctive from one another, and they aren't necessarily in order. In fact, numbering them is a little bit misleading. Because the truth is, you might start out in stage 5 one day, and by the end of the day, you're back down to stage 1. And you might spend several days in stage 2, bumping back and forth to stage 3, only to go to 4, and then finally back down to 2 or 1. You can be one thing one day and an hour later be something else. You can be all the way up to 5 and then see something that reminds you of that person or that thing that you lost, and all of a sudden the floor falls out beneath you and you're back to 1, it seems. Grief is not linear. The stages are not clearly defined. It's just sort of this blob of up and down. And it hurts. But nonetheless, it is important to see it as a process that is progressing. Even though it is sort of up and down and back and forth in a roller coaster in the short run, it is something that matters in the long run. It becomes more predictable in time. So, for instance, if I were to stand up here with a coin, right, and flip it five times, I might get heads one time and tails four times, or vice versa, or anything in between. But if I were to come up here and flip that quarter 10,000 times, you'd have a pretty good guess about how many times I might get heads, right? Within a small window, you would know. What seems chaotic in the short term becomes predictable in the long term. And so progress can be made, and you can see that things are advancing. A lot of times I like to describe to people that grief is a little bit like the stock market is supposed to be. I know that's a strange analogy, but have you ever, you know, gone back and looked at where the stock market is over the last week? And maybe not this week, but a lot of times it's like this, right? It's just all over the place. It's completely random. You have no idea whether it's going up or down. But then when you zoom out and look at it over decades, what is always happening? It trends upward. I try to tell people that that's what grief is like. In the short term, it's chaotic and you never know where you're going to be. And it may not feel like you're making progress. But in the long term, it is trending upward. And it's worth remembering that. Because in the long term, the stages and the feelings are predictable. And the mercy is happening. God ordained the process of grief. Clearly, He would give us a place to come out the other side. God knows about our loss. The Bible doesn't shy away from talking about it. And so if I have to define it, I guess grief is a process ordained by God to deal with loss of all kinds. Be it someone dear and close to you, or a job, or something you expected in life, or a place you used to live, grief can incorporate all kinds of loss. So with that being said, what can I say that is specifically Christian, that really draws us back to the Bible, that helps us understand grief in light of Jesus? And where I want to start out today, and it's going to be, you know, it's a devotion for today. But we're looking at a long series here. But in this devotion for today, I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we get what I believe to be one of the key insights. It says it like this. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death. That is, we want you to understand about death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. That is, we are not to grieve like the rest of mankind because we have a grief that is infused with the hope of Jesus Christ, of eternal life, of forgiveness of sins, of the fact that God can redeem all the things in this world that seem to not matter and make them matter in the broad scheme of what He is accomplishing. That we have this idea that we can, in fact, create something good from it. Our goal as Christians is not to avoid grieving. It doesn't say, brothers, we want you to be to know about death so that you don't grieve at all. It says so that you won't grieve like other people who have no hope. So the idea is not that we as Christians will ever avoid grief. It's that we will not grieve in quite the same way. And that's key. Because if you are trying to avoid grieving, or trying to stay strong, or trying to be perfect, or trying to not display any emotions, or try to be the strong one in your family, and you never go through that grief, you will not come out stronger. But if you accept the process that God has ordained, go through that process. Give yourself time to grieve, but do it in a way that's different from the rest of this world. You'll find yourself restored by the Almighty God who designed it to work that way. When I do a funeral, if you've been to a funeral that I've done, you know I always work in some elements of humor. Part of that is because I'm strange. Oh, Jen is nodding. Okay. But more so, it's because everyone needs to know that not all is lost. Because for us as Christians, this is not the end of the story. For us, there is more to be joyful about than there is to be sad about. And although we need to feel those feelings, there needs to be moments in the service to absolutely feel that sorrow and loss, which is appropriate to the process of grief. We also need to know that we are hanging on to good memories, positive things, and it's okay to laugh and feel all those things together at once. Why else did Jesus die for us if not to demolish our fear of death? What did God redeem if it wasn't creation or our bodies or very life on earth? Grief is not debilitating because it is tinged with the hope of Christ. And if you have lost something, take the time to feel it. Don't act like you've got it all together. You don't have to be the strong one in your family. You don't have to be the life of the party. You don't have to be the spiritual matron of our church family. Just make sure that unlike the rest of the world, you remember that there is hope on the other side. Because your grief is not like the rest of the world. That is the goal. Not to avoid grief, but to go through it in a Christian way. That is what we all need. And so I know that we are just getting on the surface of this thing, but today, this is really all I want you to know. I want you to know that we as Christians have to grieve, but that we have to do it differently than the rest of the world. And we've got another couple of weeks to talk about what that looks like, what the Bible says about it. But I just want you to focus on that. So here's my application points are fairly simple. I want you to take time this week and consider what you have lost in the last couple of years. Being that the world has gone through an awful lot, it is likely that you have lost something. And it may not look exactly like losing a loved one, and it may not look like the what has been lost by the neighbor in the chair next to you, but it is likely that your life has been upended in some way. And I want you to consider whether or not you've experienced grief, at least the symptoms of grief, or those ideas and feelings that come in with it. Secondly, I want you to take the time to feel that grief. Don't try to be strong or perfect. Don't try to pretend like you've got it all together. Part of church is the idea that we stop pretending, that we are vulnerable to one another, and that we don't think that we are Superman, because even our Savior wasn't. You guys remember the verse? He wept. Last but not least, this is something that I've learned from myself. Don't avoid community. One of the best things about going through grief in a Christian community is that Christian community. It's the idea that you have loved ones come alongside you and help you through it. And some of us in our grief, myself included, tend to isolate ourselves. We get so tired of the pretending, so tired of trying to act perfect and have it all together, so exhausted by the very idea of putting on a face, that we just stop going. That is the opposite of healing. It's not that you have to be perfect, but you can't avoid community. In fact, you should lean into it. Accept the invitation. Go to lunch with someone. Be there in public. And don't worry if you lose it for a moment. Because the grace of God is good enough to handle that. And He blessed us with community to help us through it. This is the beauty of the way God designed grief to work, is that He also designed us a community to get through it together. These are my brief thoughts for this week. I hope that it means something to you. I hope that you get your mind thinking this week. And I hope that ultimately, at the end of this series, we'll not only understand a little bit more of this hard topic, but that we'll be able to minister to others who are going through it as well, because we've thought it through a little bit. Sometimes the church isn't always real great about how they talk about grief. Sometimes we throw a whole bunch of cliches out there. We use some over-spiritual language to pretend that everything's okay. And that doesn't help. So I hope that we can get serious about how we talk about it and do so in a better way. If you would, bow your heads. God, I thank You for the chance to talk about things that are really important in Your scriptures. And I pray that we find the time to think about these things, to get better at talking about them, get better at expressing them, and to understand them in the context of a God-ordained process meant to help us deal with loss. I pray, Lord, that You'll help me to be sensitive up here to the things that people are going through, to not jumble my words or say something that would ever increase their pain. Instead, Lord, help me with sensitivity and truth to simply express Your compassion for them and to give them the resources to come out on the other side closer to You and closer to this community of believers. I thank You, God, for loving me. I thank You that You have that ability to redeem painful things. I thank You that You designed this process to where we could come out in a better place than we went in. Only help us to accept it, to follow through in that process, and to let You lead. I thank You for Your Son, for the hope that changes the way that we mourn, for the fact that we are tinged with this belief that there is something more, that it's not the end of the story, which allows us to not fall into a pit of despair, but to simply feel the sad moment and find hope there with us. I thank You and love You. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.